I would like to start with the Capital Plan Review Committee report. And it's really going to be fun. The Capital Plan Review Committee met last Thursday. What date was that? May 12th. We had asked for a... Okay. We had asked LaBella with Arel Lamaro to do a study to look at the programs that are in the old library, in particular family treatment court, the drug court personnel, and day reporting, and see whether they could fit into the human services building on the first floor. You remember we talked at length about using the LIBSE conference room. So at our meeting last Thursday, we got a report that we can email you, or you can get committee members have this, or you can get a hard copy and or a hard copy if you would like. So I'll just give you a couple of the highlights. They did look at the space. They worked with the staff. They came up with a couple of options, and basically we're able, with option one, at a cost of about $500,000, estimates, and this is inclusive of all the soft costs and contingency and everything, we're able to incorporate family treatment court and drug court, but day reporting could not fit. Option two required a one-story extension on the building. That is basically, if you're standing in front of Human Services Building, right at the entrance, there's a sort of little alcove that you go into. There's the wall on the left is 5 or 10 feet away from you, and so the extension would basically square that edge, so just make it a flush wall on the corner that faces Martin Luther King Street. That would be able to accommodate, if they did that, that would be able to accommodate day reporting, drug court, and family treatment court, and maintain the LIBSE conference room, again, with shared service, shared use of that, starting at 1:30 in the afternoon. That cost was north of $1.2 million. We had some conversation about options, and there were some options that had some promise that might be able to bring the cost down from that if some things were switched around internally. But unfortunately, the contract that we had offered for LaBella to do that work, they more than used up in terms of their time. So it was left a little bit unresolved as far as where the committee would go with that next. I'm sure we'll talk about it at our next meeting. But Arel did mention that the cost to operate the old library as it is about $115,000 a year. So staying there is not cheap. Moving the programs that are in there over to the Human Services Building, aside from the capital cost, would essentially be nothing, because we're heating the building, we're cleaning the building. Even if you bumped it out and added, can't remember the square footage that would be added, would cost pretty much nothing in terms of those operations. So the committee will certainly take all that back and chew it over some more and see if there's a way to continue that conversation. But the headline is that they all don't fit as much as we tried, as much as they tried, they all don't fit into the building as it is if the LIBSE conference room is maintained as an open space. We went on to talk about this building, and in particular this room, with Judge Mulvey, who was at the meeting. I think you remember last time I reported that he had come to us and said they really just want us to move ahead quickly and get out of this space, leaving alone our use of the four offices back here, that he would like to see minimal renovations to this space so that they could bring the Supreme Court in here. And he hoped that it would be able to be covered by the state as a tenant improvement. Well, he came to us and said that he still wanted us to move quickly, he still wanted to have minimal renovations, but there's no money in OCA to cover it as tenant renovations, tenant improvements. So his hope and expectations hadn't changed, but the funding did. We pointed out that puts a different spin on it. We had quite a bit of discussion about it. I will say that Judge Mulvey is strongly feels that we are not in compliance, and that if pushed to do it, he would be prepared to issue a report of noncompliance under Section 39. That could trigger not just the full renovation as we have a design study of $3.8 million, but it could trigger pushing us out of the DA's office and the county clerk's office as well, which puts those costs a whole lot higher. So the committee talked about that at length. We left it with Arell, that Arell had been working with the court staff and with Judge Mulvey to identify exactly what he would be satisfied with in this room, and then to come up with a list of costs, put that on paper. Then that has to be approved by the upper levels in court administration. If Judge Mulvey is satisfied but his superiors aren't, then it's not a solution. So we weren't at a point where we knew exactly how much these renovations would cost, and that's a critical piece of it, of the whole conversation. So I guess I would say stay tuned on that one as well. There was a fair amount of media on it last week, and I'm sure you heard more about that too. Arell is working on, we have later on the agenda, bond resolution for renovations to the Office for the Aging Building. So we discussed that a little bit. That's on track. And tomorrow is the kickoff meeting for the Center of Government study that with Arell working with Holt Architects. So those are the headlines from Capital Plan Review Committee last week. Peter?
Yeah, Martha, I have a couple of questions. One, is the day reporting the only tenant in the old library?
No.
So that $400,000 that it costs us, would that, the building still would have to be heated and it has to be maintained. So why is it that it would cost the day reporting nothing if it were to move into HSS, but it costs it $400,000 if it stays in that building?
No, the $500,000 to move. Right now, all the programs that are in there, which also includes records, which I didn't even talk about, cost about $115,000 to heat and cool that building. And that's not costing, not including anything that might go wrong, you know, big that would go wrong. In order to, the immediate question was, could we move the three programs that are related to human services into that building? We've already talked about records. They are, the footprint that they need is shrinking pretty much every day because of the work they're doing to digitize and shred. And the adjacencies aren't, it'll be much easier to locate them, perhaps in existing county space, because they don't have the same adjacency issues. They don't have clients coming, that sort of thing. It's not nothing, but it'll be a simpler problem to move them to a better space, to an adequate space. So can we move the three programs, drug court personnel, drug court, family treatment court, and day reporting into the human services building? That was the question.
Okay. All right. So the other question I had is about this urgency that we have. The judge made an order and we would be found in contempt of court or something like that, noncompliant. The thought that went through my mind is 10 years ago, the Court of Appeals made an order that said that the schools in New York City were violating the Constitution of the State of New York. And as near as I can tell, nothing's been done about that because they don't have the money. Why are these two cases differently? I don't quite understand. What are they really going to throw the DA out into the street? And
last I heard, the court system cannot withhold reimbursements to New York State for 1,000 programs that they co-support. If you know, if we're out of compliance and New York State deems us out of compliance, they have a million tools in the book to just withhold the money from us that they now provide us for all sorts of things.
All right, thank you.
And there is, you know, it was back 20 or 30 years, maybe more, that this arrangement was established, that the state basically took over personnel costs that we used to pay for courts in swapping for us taking over the facilities costs. So this issue about not being, about providing them adequate space has gone back at least 15 years, and he's prepared to show us, you know, and Joe and I met individually with him Thursday morning, and, you know, he flipped through the file. It's hard to argue that this is a new issue.
Okay.
Pam?
I was just going to suggest that since we can't fit everybody into the Human Services building, the possibility of not taking in a tenant at the Office for the Aging building and using that space for one of our departments.
We talked about that as well. The issue is day reporting, for example, the three programs in the old library really don't fit as adjacencies. It would not work out to have those folks in the same building as Office for the Aging. I mean,
I would like to hear further explanations why that wouldn't work out. I don't quite understand that.
Let me just say, I'm not. Okay, you're right. The programs don't all fit in the current space at the Human Services building. I think they could be made to fit at a lesser cost than we're talking about with that small addition. Joe, do you want to talk about the adjacencies issue?
Well, not so much the adjacencies, just the size of the building. The Human Services Annex building is, I think, 6,500 square feet. Does that sound right? Someplace in that ballpark. COFA is going to be taking about 3,500 square feet of that. Even without the conference room we've talked about building, that only leaves about 3,000 square feet. It's not enough for day reporting to put into that other side of the
building. What about any of the other ones?
You could maybe put, there again, you lose the connection between family treatment court, drug court, and day reporting if you move them to a different building. So I don't know if like a family treatment court could fit in the other side of the building or not. I think we were looking more at day reporting being able to fit in that building. There's clearly not space for that.
No, I'm looking at the Kathy's notes from the meeting, which has been there in the presentation. Day reporting, that's gross square footage is 2,600. Drug court, less than 500. Family treatment about 650. So even if you put probation and family treatment in the other side, which I'm not sure really works, you have about another, you know, 2,000 feet kind of left over, and then but it's not enough for day reporting. So it's a problem. The puzzle pieces.
Okay.
Moved around.
I thought George just said day reporting was going to take up 2,600 square feet, and that a COFA would take up 3,500 square feet, which would leave 3,000 square feet in the COFA building.
Right,
and
I don't think
for day reporting.
We've heard from Lisa Holmes at the committee, and I mean there was a problem with a great deal of reaction against putting COFA into the Human Services building. I think you'd have at least the same problem or worse if you put day reporting and COFA in the same building. They're really not a clientele that really wants to fit together.
Well, I appreciate that. But I also understand that that's based on people's fears. I don't know that we can base our policies on that. It just seems to me that we can't just dismiss it out of hand at this particular time in these hard economic times.
Peter, Pat and then Peter.
The figures that you're using in this discussion for comparison, are they the figures that are currently being used by these programs?
No. Arel worked hard with the staff to say, okay, they know, they were put into the old library and just said, here, fill up the space. So he worked with them, and Labella worked with them to say, okay, what do you need? And they say, two classrooms. Well, and I'm making this up. Well, do you really need two classrooms, or can you take turns?
So these are like a minimum or an ideal, or what do they represent? What's really needed?
I think they represent, and please, the committee can jump into, they represent what's needed to run the program as it is.
Now, current need with no room for expansion, is what you said.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the other thought is, there's another way to look at it, which is something we could say to the staff, well, here's the space you have. What can you manage with that? Yeah. So, I'm presenting this to you. It's all a work in progress. Right. We haven't... and I'm glad to have your feedback. And, for example, Pam, we'll chew your thought around, too, because this is what this committee is for.
I would just follow up, too, by saying that I tend to agree with Pam's thought that I think I understand the feeling and the fear, but I don't know that we should base a decision on that. And I think if that's a part of the equation, that we should take a hard look at what we could do to alleviate any possible potential for conflicts or whatever, so as to make the space work, if in fact, except for that problem, it would work.
There was another idea we had, which was to move youth services out of human services and put them in the COFA building. Because, you know, if that, and again, every time you move something, other things would take their place. If that would help, and those departments, the three department heads said that, you know, they really feel there's a strong connection. There was a reason they wanted to be in the same building, and that they work together very well, very closely. You know, DSS, probation, and youth services, and that would be a real loss if they, if youth services moved out. I know. We'll go back to the drawing board, clearly. Peter?
Yeah, I want to add my two cents to support what the two ladies to my right have said. I agree with everything. Just, you know, there are ways of dealing with those legitimate concerns that COFA has with the intermingling of these populations, but there are things like fences and no doors, and I don't exactly know what, but there are ways of putting different functions in different buildings and making sure that they don't communicate with each other on a human terms. Mm-hmm. And it's, as Pam said, these times are hard, and you can't necessarily do the ideal in these situations.
Mike?
I wanted to talk about the courtroom. I continue to be, well, let's pick a word, let's say bewildered. Don't want to use angry, by the hard-nosed attitude that we're getting from the courts regarding the use of our chambers here. It's one thing if we weren't already providing a really nice courtroom in the old courthouse, one that's can be used. It's probably a nicer courtroom than the one here in the main courthouse, the main courtroom. Maybe not as beautiful, as decorative, but it certainly is a very comfortable, usable one. So to kick the legislature out of this room to save the court having to walk across the parking lot troubles me a lot. And then we will have to be moving back and forth. If we were going over to that location and having the adjacencies that we needed over there and could move our staff and everything else, that would be one thing. But we know that's not going to really work over there that way. The other thing what this doesn't really solve the court's problems in this building. The real problems, if anybody looks around, is the crowds of people that we get that need better waiting rooms, better facilities, child waiting rooms, and other things that we looked at in the study. That doesn't solve any of that problem. And it's just a matter of time before the county clerk's office is thrown out and or the DA's office. We've given up space, or we're about to give up space, with COFA. So I continue, as I say, to be bewildered here. And I just don't think we should be pushed too far too fast.
Joe, can I put you on the spot to talk about Judge Mulvey's frame of mind? You don't have to, but...
Can he sentence me for anything if I go over the top or not? Martha characterized it well. It's a thick file that goes back many years. And I think the judge's attitude is enough is enough. I mean, I can't think of a different way to characterize it, that they've given this county a long time to comply with the mandate that a lot of other counties were also subject to, and I think we've done a pretty good job in continuing this discussion probably longer than most other counties in the state. He believes that he's offered the most affordable of the options possible. And to show forbearance on some of those costs that would be in the millions of dollars. I mean, you recall the plan that Lavella presented. It's $3.8 million for a lot of improvements in elevators and holding areas and so forth. He is saying, I will give forbearance on that. But there is an urgency in his tone, and there is a severity in his tone as well. And Martha's right. He did basically say that if he doesn't see progress on this he wants access to this room by January of next year, he will file his order and it will go to the state and they will compel us to make these improvements, and they will take away state aid to the extent that we don't do that. I'm not endorsing his message, but that's the message that I took away from that meeting.
That's terrible.
I'm afraid that's true. Mike?
Just let me say, Judge Mulvey did make the point that he was concerned about the cost to taxpayers, and to which I responded, if he was concerned about the cost to taxpayers, we shouldn't require any move at all at this point. It's a bad time to try to go to the taxpayers for more money for capital improvements.
Agree. Just as we were talking, I was just thinking about the COFA building and the Livesey room. And as I think about it, a lot of what drove Labella's work on this was that they were required to leave the Livesey room pretty much as it is. And there's a place where they put the kitchen, a galley kitchen in, so there's a little adjustment, but I'm just wondering if the front of the Livesey of the COFA building became meeting space / meeting spaces, and then the day reporting could use the Livesey room. Maybe we were being too narrow-minded about the Livesey room, and maybe we have to go back to the drawing board on that. So, all right. As I said, we certainly don't have a recommendation for you yet. If anybody wants the full report, then we can easily email it and make a copy if you'd like. Just check with Kathy. Dooley?
The only thing that I think you didn't mention, but what impressed me was Patricia Carey's comments. She is, her existing staff and clients use meeting rooms a lot for various purposes, and she is perfectly prepared to accept what we do, but she conveyed, at least to me, that it will be a hardship for her department. So when you just suggested that maybe the Bev Livesey room doesn't need to be preserved as a meeting room, I'm not sure whether that is in this is the best idea, and I need to think about her comments in respect to that.
And the meeting she in particular talked about, one of them happens once a month and the other one happens once a month.
I looked at the list, Martha.
I know. So as we've been saying over and over, nothing's perfect here. And we really want to spend money on people, not on space. So sort of that's overall the priority. Okay, ready to move on? Government Operations, Mike Lane, Chair.
Well, we haven't had a meeting since the last legislature meeting, except for special meetings regarding redistricting. We've had a couple of those. We began the review of the applications we had received for people to serve on that commission, and we have a total of 31 that came in. One was after the deadline, so that we had to reject that. We went through them. As you know, you're all invited to those meetings. We had a couple of extra legislators come. We were pleased to have them. We basically looked at the applications and have decided to interview 16 of them. And we have set up interviews for this Saturday, starting at 12:30. That's the 21st of May. And also for the following Saturday, starting at, that's the 28th, at 9 a.m. And we hope to get through all of them and give everyone an opportunity in that list of 16 to talk to us. You're welcome to come to those interviews. I think we're going to have some very good talent. I think it's going to be diverse talent. And we have also, I will have put in the office, if they're not there already, a complete set of the applications that folks here on the legislature may look at, both the ones that came in total and the ones the committee chose to set up for interviews.
Thank you, Mike. Tell me, where are the interviews happening?
Yeah. When and where again?
Happen at the old jail.
Okay.
When again?
When?
Yeah. When's the date?
This Saturday, starting at 12:30, probably be all afternoon. And again, the spillover on Saturday, the 28th at 9. I know Karen's been very busy putting together that schedule for us, and we appreciate the effort she's made scheduling.
That's a terrific effort by that committee. Thank you all very much. That's a lot of work, I know. Any other questions for Mike? All right, thank you. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Pam McAsee, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Planning Committee met on the 4th of May. We had, my list here. We had a very lively meeting this month. We had lots of discussion. We had a discussion about the Planning Advisory Board, which is a board that is made up of professionals in the planning field, environmental field, and the discussion centered around how those appointments are made and who gets to make them. And we had very strong opinions, not all of them the same. We had a discussion on the membership to the IDA, on whether the school districts should be included as an identified group on that board. And once again, there was there were different opinions on that. We had a discussion on the proposed downtown sustainability center, which would be a place for a combination of people to come and find out what's going on in the county around sustainability issues, a place for people who are working on projects to display those projects, a place for students to come and find projects in the county that they could work on. Anyway, that too was a very good discussion. There was some concern about the proposing something like that at a time when we are struggling economically. No conclusion was reached on any of those, but we managed to meet for for 2 hours, and it was really, it was a good meeting, so. And our next meeting is the 1st of June.
Thank you, Pam. Any questions? All right, Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Good evening. We have three significant resolutions, and first one is Resolution I. It's a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $750,000 in serial bonds and notes of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of capital improvement project at 214 West Martin Luther King Street, and I'm adding after a slash West State Street. And I'm also adding in the second whereas after West Martin Luther King Street, a slash, and West State Street to the resolution. And I would move that.
Is there a second? Frank seconds. Is there any discussion? Julie.
Just a question. Are we supposed to include the word junior as part of the street name?
It seems like
it. It is. It is.
Yes, right?
So, comma, yes. Junior. So, comma, junior slash West State Street. Okay. Is that all right?
Okay.
Frank?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Anything else? Ready to vote. Do we need a roll call or just...
We need, yes, we need 10 votes as was instructed by the finance officer.
Kathy, we'll do a roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chock?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 no.
Hey, do I get the vote?
Oh, sorry. Ms. Robinson?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 no.
See how quick they forget.
Thank you.
Item J, Resolution J, a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to... $2,500,000 serial bonds and notes of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of a capital improvement project at the Tompkins County Recycling and Solid Waste Center. And I would move that.
And Leslin seconds that. Any discussion? All right, another roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chock?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 no.
And just for the public, Jim, can you explain that...
I'm sorry?
Can you explain the relationship of this to the taxpayer in the solid waste budget? This is where Carol or Julie?
The relationship is that the solid waste department is an enterprise operation, and they generally can pay for everything that they do, and it is not a burden on the taxpayer at this point.
And just both of these reinforce the pattern I've seen of the more money, the less we discuss it.
Well, if I can, I think some of the early discussion took the fire out of most everything, but I'm sure this next resolution will bring it back. Resolution K, the establishment of a 2010 county financial goal. And
2012. And seconded by Nathan.
And let me just say, this formally, upon approval of this, kicks off the budget season for Tompkins County. We've had meetings, discussions prior to this resolution. And we're here with a resolution that has talked about a 2% tax cap and a 5.4 tax levy and a 2% tax levy. So we've tried to fit in this resolution about all the discussion we've had about these things. And I think the resolution at the end, in the final resolve, summarizes where our discussion has gone so far. I think the county administrator can even enlighten us more about this, but it is what it is. The number is out there. The public has heard the number. I've seen responses to it, and you know, things like, you know, why don't those guys wake up? Because, you know, we're talking about 2%. No one can afford these things. But in the final analysis, I think it's up to all of us to be able to explain the programs we have and how what we do affects the general public. And when we're talking about a 5.4 tax cap or a tax levy to maintain what we have for the people of Tompkins County would require a 13% levy increase. This is going to mean over time, over the next 5 or 6 months, that we have to look for 7 or 8% cuts in our departments, and it will have a dramatic, if not dynamic, effect on what we're going to be doing in the delivery of services for the next year. That's my story for now. Any questions for anyone?
Well, I think the education will continue. I've got a guest editorial I'm about to send to the paper about the tax cap. Brian, Mike, and I have been invited to speak at the Grange next Monday night in Dryden Fire Hall about a bunch of topics, so you don't have to worry about your PowerPoint show. But and we will be working with Marcia to schedule meetings with the public specifically about the budget. I'm sure we'll talk about this issue next Monday also, as one of many. Anything else? Peter.
Well, in the prior discussion that we had about this matter, I voted against the 5.4%, and I think I'll vote against it again on this floor. I don't want to take everyone's time by trying to make an amendment to it, because I think the support is clearly there for that. I just believe that that we ought to set our sights on a lower tax increase. There's nothing else I can say except that single sentence.
Pat?
I, too, am going to oppose this resolution. From the time that we completed our last budget season and did a look back at the process to talk about what we might have done differently or what we wanted to do differently this year, I started talking about and have continued talking about what I feel is the need to, as a group, think about and talk about priorities for the county. I'm greatly concerned about the constraints we're working under this year and the need that we have for making cuts. And we have had no meaningful discussion prior to the bringing this resolution forward about what we feel should be the priorities for the county in the coming year, which means that as going forward with the next steps in the process, the departments and our county administrator will be developing proposed budget without having any input from us as to what we think the priorities should be. And I think failing to have done that it makes us very remiss as a group. And for that reason, I am not going to support this resolution.
Mike? I will support the resolution. I'm not happy with the 5.4% figure. And if it was just a resolution saying to look at a budget for 5.4%, I would probably vote no on this resolution. But in it is also the direction to look at a budget at 2%, because that's the specter of the tax cap that is out there. And I think it will be an eye-opener when we look at what would happen with 2% cap. As popular as it may be, because people hate real property taxes, I think the effect of it would be even worse. So I think this is a working proposal to look at 2% and look at 5.25%, and perhaps we'll end up somewhere between. I hope we don't end up at a higher figure. So that's why I will support this.
Jim? No?
No.
Anyone else? Pam?
Well, I am reluctantly going to support this because I am approaching this similar to the approach that Mike Lane has taken, which is that this is a work in progress, that this is not a hard and fast number we're looking at. And part of the reason that I think that we need further discussion on this is because of the reasons that Pat raised, which are that we have not really tackled the whole issue of our priorities. And I know we have a large, long list of mandated services that we have to provide. But beyond that list, there are options, and they're all awful. But I think that we have got to make those hard decisions, because we are just slowly bleeding our departments so that even the programs that we cherish the most are going to have a hard time functioning. So I think we have to make those decisions. And but I am going to vote for this, but I am going to be advocating strongly that we need to be looking at our priorities more closely.
I've got Leslie, Jim, and Frank.
Thanks, Mike. I want to ditto some of what Mike has said. I'm not as tentative, but I certainly am curious to see what the 2% will look like, and hopefully we can strike a good balance. I also want to ask Pat that if Pat has a proposal for how we go about looking at the priorities, setting the priorities, I'm really interested in hearing that and seeing if it's something that we can engage in as we go along in this budget process.
Thank you, Leslie. Jim, Frank, and then I'll put myself in.
And Martha, can I just say one thing? I just want to say, Pat, that we've tried all kinds of, and perhaps you're coming in with a fresh idea of prioritizing that hasn't worked in the past, and maybe you have some fresh idea of how else we can do it, and so I'm really interested.
Jim?
I one thing we've added this year is the simulation, the budget simulation, that all of us are able to look at the budget or online, make changes in dollar amounts, and see what that means to a department. I don't disagree with anyone around the room, but I think what we have to commit ourselves to do some priority work, but I think we have to explain ourselves, and we have to explain the job of Tompkins County and what we do and how it affects people. It is too easy for the naysayers to say, oh, they're spending too much money on this and they're spending too much money on that, and we don't respond correctly sometimes, or we don't respond at all. So, you know, I think it's just terribly important for all of us, no matter how we feel about that kind of a number, to be able to explain what it is we do and what effects it has on people in the neighborhoods that you represent. And I think if you do that, you're going to be a little bit better off in trying to explain what we're doing. There are a group of people who are never going to agree with you, and I understand that. And that's why we're here doing what we do. You can't satisfy everyone, and I'm sorry. People have said to me, when you run for office, if you could satisfy 51% of them, you were going to be okay. But you know, that's not really the way it is in this county and in this government.
Frank, then me, then Brian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I couldn't agree with Pat more. Some of us have been trying to get the county prior boards, and when the majorities were different as well, believe it or not, to look at priorities and priority setting. And we all have different ones. It depends on how articulate you are and how many votes you have on your side of the aisle or on my side of the aisle to use the power of persuasion to set your priorities. The concern I have goes back to something that Joe mentioned earlier tonight. We don't have a timetable in here in this resolution. And if we're going to be looking, all it says is we're going to be adopting, you know, a 2012 budget, hopefully by November, right? I think it would be wise for us to at least ask when we can see the spread or the array of programs to reach either of these two percentages. I think it would be helpful to know how Joe or whoever's going to construct this would deliver that, so we can understand what we can select from in order to reach these items. Joe's been a little busy, so I don't expect you to have that running around in your head anyway, but it would be nice to know about when. But the concern I have, and this one I'm afraid will light some of your fuses, I have a problem with how are we going to are we going to consider new programs. Earlier tonight, Joe reported that he and Ed Marks are going to go to another county or two to talk about developing a regional sustainability initiative. That's wonderful if you have the money to do it, or you can draw on those other counties to contribute. Peter said earlier that of the 62 counties in the state, everybody's having the same financial problems. I agree with you. No revelation. Everybody's struggling. I don't think we ought to be sending anybody off other than to gather information to develop new programs. Pam said we had a little bit of a contentious meeting. No, it was a lively meeting at planning. I raised a number of questions about that sustainability project in planning. Great if you have the money. We have blessed certain individuals to concentrate on that particular initiative because some have set up that as a priority. In my opinion, healthcare is a priority. You'll hear more about that after Thursday's meeting, regardless of what you may or may not have heard earlier today. I'm not trying to deep-sick sustainability, but when we are going to get into pitting one program against another, like it or not, we are, because numbers and dollars are tight. And we all have our likes and dislikes, but it means we're going to have to compromise a little bit with each other and with some of the programs. I'm going to support the resolution because I think Joe needs it. He needs to have a direction to go in on this. We've given ourselves a lot of flexibility in here because all we're saying is this is a tool. We reserve the right to change it. And I heard Peter say last year, why are we setting this? Because we can change it and go up or down, and we're not really carving this in stone. And we didn't. We did massage it at the end. But I want to be perfectly candid with you so you know where I'm coming from. I chair the Health and Human Services Committee. About 80%, approximately 80% of the $150 million budget that we deal with, maybe even a little more, comes through my committee. Mm-hmm. Some of those programs will probably be on the chopping block. Remember last year we were talking about the REC partnership? Everybody in the county has agita over that because if the county pulls out, the probability is that whole partnership's going to collapse. You may as well know that up front. There's a lot of concern about it. Happens to be one that works, by the way. And the health department, you know where I'm coming down on this chart. I'm not making that a secret. I've spoken to some of you about it, and I'm going to make any case I can to make sure that that gets a fair hearing. It all goes back to 5.4% or the 2% cap. We need to set some priorities. And when I have to weigh sustainability against care for senior citizens, and someone said earlier today, well, this is an easy program because you can have someone step in and take it over and deliver the service. Well, I want to see the array that Joe is going to present to see what other programs are on that list that others can step in and do, or we can do with a little less of. So be prepared. It isn't going to be an easy season for any of us. And I intend to stay tuned myself, but all of our meetings are going to be lively, Pam. But I would like an answer to how are we going to handle new initiatives, in particular the one that I mentioned to you, Joe.
Well, the sustainability thing is really counties acting in tandem. So it's coordinating policies. It's doing things that will promote basically rural economic development. And, you know, it relates to sustainable agriculture and water supply protection. So we're not talking about building new programs. We're talking about counties coordinating their actions to make sure we do things in a way that promotes economic development, especially rural economic development. We also want to make sure that we are in line for state money. That, you know, the governor proposed, I forget what he called it, Clean and Green or some other green-sounding grant program. And the concern is that the money is going to be targeted to the larger metropolitan counties unless the smaller counties can band together and compete for that. So that's a part of it, too. And that's state money coming down.
Right.
Believe me, I appreciate what you're saying about we have to be really careful about adding costs at a time that we're trying to find ways to save money. The easier question you ask is about the timing of things. And that's important, too, that I don't see anything until the 1st of August. So what will happen next is we will come to you with a resolution that really establishes the spending targets. That's the next resolution that will come to you. As soon as that happens, the departments have their marching orders, so they spend June and July to prepare their requests. I don't see anything until early August. It normally comes to you in the first week or so of September for you to take a look at. So that's really the formal date when it all comes over to you. And again, until August, even I don't know what those proposals will look like.
So we have the summer.
Well, all right, my turn. Committees absolutely have the summer to do what Peter's right. doing in public safety, which is to take the bucket that's in public safety and run those through the simulator. I mean, are you still thinking of doing that, right, Peter? Was that what you were going to say?
I was going to report on that, but...
All right. I won't say any more about it, but committees can absolutely look at the programs that under their purview, and you know, if you want to prioritize among your own, among the five of you, if you want to look at hard numbers, you've got not 2012 numbers, but you have 2011 numbers. There are tools that we can all do. We don't have to just wait for the staff. I would also emphasize the issue about economic development. Frank, you came to, you know, when we talked about committee assignments in January, you really emphasized that. And what I see the planning department doing, goes to the Sustainability Center as well, is taking the existing work program, not adding elements to the work program, but changing what's already been approved and what their staff's assignments are, changing to focus on things that they think will position us well in terms of bringing in grants, doing better partnerships with the private and the public sector, other things that will really make a difference in a positive way. And it's so, I mean, and I'm sure that that's, I feel convinced that those are the things that they're looking at doing,
good.
Not to just spend money, but a way to bring new resources to the community. Brian, then Peter.
I am going to support this only because it does have that we're taking a look at the 2% that everyone out there is hearing about. And the 5.4 basically is going to be a talking point that we're going to have to make, and we're going to get it. I would suggest that everyone try to maybe sooner than possible or than normal kind of familiarize yourselves with the budget as it's going to be. And Joe, if you could, during our last budget meeting, a figure that stuck out with me was, we're actually talking about in terms of discretionary or cuttable funds within our overall budget, we're talking about 29% of the budget. Is that correct? Did I hear that right?
I think that's if you look at our entire $156 million budget, that's correct. If you look at our local budget, call it $75 million. Actually, it's going to be more like $80 million. About half of that is in the pool that we can cut. About half of that is what we might call discretionary, like road patrol, which, again, we can. It's not really discretionary. The other part of that is things that we are mandated to do. We have to do it. We can't just stop doing it. Mm-hmm. But we have some latitude in terms of how we do it. So you add those two things together, and it's about a half of our local dollars.
Well, what I would like to have, and we're actually starting, as Martha said, scheduled to start next Monday with a meeting in Dryden, which is going to, I'm sure, as soon as this comes out, that point is going to be out there. Yeah. I would like to have just a general list just to show what is able to be cut, you know, that just the topic areas, because I think a lot of people are going to be quite surprised at what those are, and a lot of them are going to be near and dear to the people that are actually looking at them.
And can I use that opportunity just to make a comment back? The 5.4% that we're talking about, again, I think in many people's minds, the 2% is now somehow the standard. 5.4 may sound like a significant increase. As you look at that 5.4, you have to look at the other side of that ledger as well and realize that at 5.4%, we will be cutting $3.1 million in spending out of this budget, which is almost 8% of that entire base you're talking about that is subject to these cuts. And that's coming on the heels of a couple of years where we've cut back, our roster is down 7%. So there is sacrifice on the program side too, even at that 5.4% levy level.
But can you generate?
I can.
I think
I think it's actually in the retreat information that we provided. Yeah, we can do that, yes.
Because we're almost going to need almost like a condensed cheat sheet as we're going to these sorts of things because there's no way they're gonna go all through that whole
PowerPoint.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but their attention just doesn't be there.
We sent a letter to each of our senators and Barbara Lipton and the governor, and included on the latest graph. It showed the level where the tax cap would be, and it is more than taken up by the new cuts from the state for programs we have to keep providing. So we look at the 2%. That's about $812,000. Mm-hmm. The new cuts from, you know, of our mandated reimbursements for mandated money, $850,000. Okay, so right away you're above that. The additional growth in mandates is what takes you to 5.4. So it's all state impacts on us.
But I'm just thinking in terms of presentation. Folks are out there they're not interested in the raw numbers as much as this is the effect.
That's right.
That it will have for things that are near and dear to all of us.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. And that will get people's attention. And ultimately, you know, we talk about prioritization, and I certainly agree. Although probably for this year, if it doesn't come anywhere else, it's certainly going to shake out during budget time as to what the priorities are. But armed with that sort of information as we go out into the world and have some of these meetings, the folks are going to tell you what their priorities are, which should have quite a bearing on what ours are. It's like, look, we're going to have to cut. What would you suggest? It's tough for us. It's tough for everybody.
I've got Peter, Carol, and Jim.
Trying to remember what I was going to say. Well, I don't know. I'll just give my own approach. I think it's a big mistake to write to draw lines in the sand, to say we can't get out of rec partnership. We have to have the job. These programs we can't cut. I think that we ought to, and the other thing that I think we ought to do less is worry about how we're explaining things to the public, how we're explaining why we can't do that to the public. I don't really think that that's the most profitable use of our time, to try to figure out why it is that this is what we have to do. I can't really think of any answer, but I think you have to open your mind as wide as possible. I think the idea of asking people what it is they want is not particularly helpful. I mean, I sat through a lot of public hearings, and people came out with the programs that they liked, and they made very compelling arguments for it. But frankly, those people didn't analyze the budget and figure out, well, what's more important, what's less important than this particular program. That's our job. I think we do have to, I mean, it's a tradition in our country that we do have these public meetings and listen seriously to what people say and try to hear if we can't hear something that we haven't thought of ourselves from those people. That's why I think you should listen to the people. But we always have to remember it's a relatively small group of people who come out with a particular outcome that they personally want, and the number of people we hear from is very, very small. So what am I thinking? I'm thinking that I don't know that there's nothing wrong with 5.4%, but I think what we have to do is go into this process within our mind thinking that 5.4% is a large tax increase. There's no way of saying different. In this particular time, that's a large tax increase. And if we can figure out any way to make it less than that, then we ought to do that. And we ought to open our mind to the arguments that allow us to do things that we would have thought unthinkable before we came into the room. That's what I wanted to say.
Carol and Jim.
I will also support this resolution at the figure that it's at. In terms of information that I think would be useful for us to have, I think that the visual information that we've had in the past, and the capabilities that there are today to provide some visualizations, the bar charts, the size of the various budgets, and the amount that various programs represent in relation to each other is helpful. I agree with Peter that we not draw lines in the sand, and that we understand that we are 15 people who are each, agonizing at this point. About how to deal with what's coming down the road. I don't want us to characterize it as not having put a lot of thought into how we set priorities. We do that in our committees. We've done it over the years. We've grappled one program versus another. I mean, I go to bed every night, or don't go to bed every night, thinking about how are we going to set these priorities and have conversations as we do our work. I'll bring up one of them in the F&I report. It's a small one, but it the committee grappled with. So I hope that we don't draw lines in the sand and that we understand and that we're all coming to this really a desire to do the best we can by our residents. And then I also hope that the 5.4% we came to as a reasonable number, that we have come to it as a compromise to begin with. I would like to see the headline in the paper tomorrow be county figures out a way to come down from the 12, 13, 14% that we would have had to set as a target to maintain our current effort, rather than county goes above the 2% that the state is asking us unreasonably to hold to, while passing down 5% worth of increases that we have no choice over. So 5.4% to me just seems to be a reasonable place to at least start to ask our departments to work from. And yes, we will see what happens in the fall. I urge you to vote for this so that our administrator and our department heads have something to work from.
Jim and Julie? And Dave, did you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter brings up an interesting thought. A couple of them that when you talk about opening your minds to other things, I guess I don't know any other way than I was sent here by some people in Ulysses and Enfield to try to act on their behalf. And I believe that acting on their behalf, if I'm able to act on their behalf, I have to say this is something good for you and this is something not so good for you. And I have to be able to explain what it is we're doing down here. And I think to operate in a framework that says, well, you know, it's only because there are 20 people who come out to a meeting. I know what those 20 people are going to say already. It doesn't matter what our cap is or what our number is. I know what they're going to say. And I also know what they're going to say if we start moving on their favorite program. But I think our job in this whole, I'm really looking forward to having a discussion outside of this room with Peter and trying to figure out, you know, how we can move ahead. I think it's a different year. It's the new normal, as we like to say, and it's a different time. And budgets in the past have been priorities. That's what a budget is. You end up with a group of people arranging their thoughts and their votes in a way that sets a priority. I think we do that all the time. We may do it in a more precise way this year because we obviously have to. And I think all of us welcome that. It's an interesting time, and I don't know any other way to put it that we have a really big responsibility, and we have less and less money to carry out those responsibilities. And I hope we can come to some agreement 8 months from now on what those responsibilities are.
Julie and then Dave.
I want to be able to follow Leslin's advice. I haven't voted. I want to leave to vote. I've been waiting for this discussion to end. There are several resolutions I'm not going to be able to stay here for. The only thing I want to say about this resolution, which I support, is that a 5.4% tax levy increase is a grand total of $56 on the average home in the county. That is not a huge sum of money, and I hope that our constituents will see it that way.
Dave, then maybe
I'd like to call a question.
I think we're probably ready to go. I don't know if we have to go through that. Oh, okay. I
raised my hand to say I second. Not that I wanted to know.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. We have a question's been called. All in favor of ending debate, please raise your hand. Opposed?
She voted
twice.
You can't vote twice. And I didn't say Dooley voted at all. So
I voted yes.
Is that even out? All right. I think it's 14-1. The question is called. 13-1.
I just don't like to end debate if there are still people who want
to. No discussion. That's the whole point. All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Hold it up. We're voting on the original resolution.
Is this the one for 10%?
Yeah, Frank. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Dooley, are you voting? That's a yes. 12. Opposed? 2 opposed. That passes 12 to 2. I want to thank you all for a very thoughtful, important discussion. I know it, thanks, Julie. I know it took a long time, but that's what we're here to do. So thank you, everyone.
That will be the end of my report. We're meeting Monday afternoon at 3:30.
Okay. Thank you. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Yeah. The Public Safety Committee hasn't met since our last meeting. But I do have a report to make. One thing I hold against my dear and accomplished wife is that she likes to tell the punchlines of jokes when I start to say them. So thank you, Martha. I'm going to... The Public Safety Committee has been doing a number of things which I'd like to report on. You'll soon see a press release that will announce the start of the Wise Up, Slow Down program, which will be targeted enforcement of speeding in areas where speeding does seem to have the maximal negative effects on neighborhoods. And that will be cooperation between the Sheriff's Department and all the other major police forces in the area. And I want to say that we worked very nicely with Ken, and Ken has gotten all of those groups to go along, and I'm looking forward to making an impact on our community. The Public Safety Committee itself is looking at several things. One, as Martha told you before, the Public Safety Committee will, in fact, use the budget simulator to look at the Public Safety Committee or the budget of the programs that report to the Public Safety Committee, and with the task of find the cuts that will bring this down to the 5.4% mark. I have looked myself. I've tried to do it. I find it extremely difficult. And the Public Safety Committee budget, I believe, is the largest budget when it comes to share of local revenue. And I figure if you can't cut it there, I have no idea where you're going to cut it. So I think we'll try very hard, and I'm looking forward to learning something from the effort and from everybody else's effort. Another thing that we're doing is we're looking into two issues that I think are very important. One is the jail statistics. You know, it turns out in the public safety budget, the largest single item is the jail. The jail is very expensive, and the jail is not big enough, and we always have board outs, and we are going to try to figure out a way to understand the statistics on that, namely to look at time trends in the board outs and to try to understand why we have board outs, where are they coming from. Brian and I are going to work together with the sheriff to try to figure out what kind of statistics we need to do our job better. And another item that I think is extremely important is the other side of the board out problem, namely probation. That one thing we do a lot of in the jail is hold people awaiting trial. And if we can figure out ways to increase the amount of people that that don't go to jail but are on various programs that keep them out of jail, we save money. And we're going to try to understand more about which of the so-called alternatives to incarceration programs are the most effective in keeping people out of jail. And more, or I shouldn't say more importantly, but equally important to keeping people out of jails is keeping us from paying for the cost of putting them in jail. So I guess that's what I... And now I have a couple of resolutions.
Yes. Okay.
So should we just go through the resolutions, or should I take questions?
Are there any questions on what Peter said? Okay, go ahead, Peter.
So the first is Resolution L, appropriation from the contingent fund terminal pay, Department of Probation and Community Justice. This is one of the routine resolutions that comes from people who leave our employee and have funds left over.
And you so move.
So I so move.
And is there a second? Pat seconds. Any questions, comments? This is a short form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Okay, Resolution M, requesting introduction of home rule legislation amending Section 603 of the Retirement and Social Security Law in relation to service retirement benefits and disability benefits for certain detective investigators with 20-year service without regard to age.
Is there a second?
I move that.
And is there a second?
Let's see.
Jim seconds that. Okay, you want to comment on this?
Yeah. I took it upon myself to tell the district attorney that she needn't come here to explain this because I understood it now, and I hope to God that's correct. Okay.
Let's see if there are any questions. Okay, because it.
Well, let me explain that.
Very briefly, okay.
Okay. There were some questions raised to a couple of people when I talked about them, so I'd like to explain what this is all about. We approved the district attorney hiring an investigator. Previously. Now, the problem is the following, that the investigator was not on the budget. And because that was not a line that was filled previously, we did not have the authorization to transfer credits from a police officer who had come into that position to enable that person to pick up retirement credits from this job in the same way that we do when we hire a sheriff's deputy who makes a lateral transfer from another police position to this one. When they do that, they add the times that they have to the 20 years that they need in order to retire, the additional time that comes with us. We could not do that without having this particular piece of legislation, that if we were to attract a police officer from another jurisdiction to come here without having this legislation, this job would be considerably less attractive because that person would not be able to add to their service time that enables them to retire after 20 years. So that's what it's about. It's not about trying to make it the double dipping that people have talked about. And I talked to the district attorney. She said she's looked at the list, and all of the people who are on actually have applied for the position all have less than 20 years in there. So that's what we're doing. And she does not believe they'll take the job without having this happen. So that's my understanding of what it's about.
Okay, Leslie, then Brian.
Thank you. So I believe that in committee I voted against this. And my question to Joe had to do with what kind of a budget impact are we looking at? I don't remember the answer. So if you can tell me again, so I can make an informed vote, because that was my concern.
Yes.
But do you mean voted against establishing the position or this resolution?
This resolution. I voted against establishing the position as well, but I voted against this resolution partly because I needed more information about numbers and what it looks like.
This is a higher cost pension. It's about 8% more on payroll than a regular pension, than a non-uniform pension. However, the effect of this is lagged. It would affect our budget, I think, in 2013 because the payroll has already been established for 2012. The cost difference is slightly under $5,000 a year.
Thank you.
Brian?
I voted for this in committee. However, I'm not going to today. I thought at the time of establishment, I made it pretty clear that I believe, anyway, only because I've seen it done, that these services can be done much cheaper, certainly without a retirement. But as it stands, and I'm guessing that it probably will pass. However, we may be doing looking to the future, we may be doing a disservice to someone that takes this position, only because I don't know what sort of position we're going to be in as a legislature to fund, add in what's going to amount to probably in excess of $80,000 when you add in this with a salary to an already tight budget year. So I would hope that if this passes, that at least that person, before they accept the position, is told very clearly that, you know, this isn't something that we can guarantee is going to be funded forever and ever. And I guess I'll leave it at that.
Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution M, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That fails. 4-7. There's a 5-7. 5-7. All right. You have Resolution N, Peter.
I'm shocked. Resolution N, appropriation of donations to support the canine program, Sheriff's Department.
I so move.
Sorry.
And Leslin seconds.
I'll get the hang yet.
You done? All right, Jim?
Yeah, I'm going to support this, but I just want to send a small message that when this kind of thing happens again, that it get done in the right order. This resolution came to the committee, and all the action was taken before the legislature ever actually got a chance to vote on it. So all things were done, and then we were asked to vote on this one. Yeah. So that's a little small message from me on this one.
Leslin?
I have a request. And my request is to understand how the trust account is set up to work. I don't need to get it now. How that's set up to work, because it seems to me, well, I'll leave it at that. Is it a quick response?
Yeah. For at least 10 years, there's been an account on the books that takes in donations for various programs. And it had in the neighborhood of, I think, over $10,000 in it. So the choice was to ask the county to take it out of his own budget or to, you know, I mean, there's many options, but I suggested that since he had the money, if he wanted to devote it to that, he could move it into his budget. He already had the spending authority to purchase, equipment.
You said $10,000, and that's in for designated for sheriff's expenditures, the sheriff's department.
Yes.
Okay. That's not other departments. It's all sheriff.
No, just for the sheriff. And if they were going to do it, there was some urgency to get training into the line for training. If they were going to do it and raise the money first, they would have missed the training opportunity. So he was taking some risk by the way that it proceeded.
Thank you.
Are we set to vote? Resolution and it's a short form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yeah, reluctantly.
What?
Yes, reluctantly. Oh.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no?
No, but I just want to wish blessings on Major. And goodbye to Major.
Okay. But that passes unanimously with goodbye to Major. All right. Thank you very much, Peter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion. Peter? Jim? I'm sorry.
I want to ask a question. We approved a position for the DA, and we just basically voted down the position. What is the next move? Is there any? I mean, I understand about bringing back resolutions and things, but I believe she thought that the position was recommended. It was recommended, and now the retirement part of it is not recommended. So,
thank you, Jim. I was trying to think of how to raise that question. I found it surprising, both.
Well, I don't find it surprising, but and I'll tell you why later. But. What's the procedure?
Three people aren't here. Any of them can bring it back at our June 7th meeting. That's a sort of quick answer for what could happen next.
Yeah.
If anybody who voted, let's see, the prevailing side was the losing side. If anybody, Jonathan, if anybody who voted against this wanted to change their mind, they could also bring it back. Is that right? At the next legislature meeting. So that's open to those seven, and as well as the other three.
We have their report. Do we know who they are?
No, we never know who. Yes, we know who voted in which way. And I hope y'all remember too. Okay. All right. Thank you. And Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean-Clairvoy.
The BDIC met on the 27th. A small number of members attending. People were doing lots of other things. One that I already told you about the diversity roundtable. One of the things that we are working on is sort of revising our marketing and just information out to our workforce. And so there was some time spent on looking at our brochure. I don't know if folks remembered when we had the kickoff, Tompkins County Diversity Inclusion kickoff event on the Commons. Marsha had graciously helped to develop a brochure for WDIC. Basically, you know, basic information, why are we doing this, purpose, etc. So we worked on doing some revisions to that because it needed some updating. And at our upcoming meeting, the committee will look at it again, approve or disapprove, and we'll make sure that you all are informed, you have an idea, you get to see it. Because that's what we'll be using as we go through our workforce, sharing information. We continue to work on our plan. We are down to two goals left that we need to revise and tidy up. And then we will be able to work on the policy portion of this, sort of the enforcement, how do we enforce and what happens if you don't follow the plan, et cetera. And we'll also be bringing that to you, so relatively soon, I hope.
All right, thank
and we'll
you,
meet again next Wednesday, 3:30 at the Beverly City Conference Room. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Leslie? Thank you very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee met on the 11th, and this seemed to be a month for reports. We had an update from the Youth Services Department from Amy and Nancy Zook regarding the 2010 agency outcomes. I won't read all those numbers, but it was quite interesting, pardon me, to know that of all the agencies in town that deal with youth, a couple of the items that really jumped off the page were how tough it is for kids to find jobs. And also they listed in the subsequent survey, the one for independent living, how tough it was for them to be transported around. Available housing, affordable housing, getting a job, going to school. They surveyed the second time 225 youths. The ages were 16 to 24, and it was countywide. I won't, as I said, the survey's available and the results are available, but it was a little bit telling about the number of kids that even reported that they were threatened by someone with a weapon. The number was 57% of the 225 kids that were interviewed. Very, really tough numbers. Anyway, but Nancy and Amy did a very nice job on that. One of the resolutions we dealt with earlier this evening, the one that I had to change the word in, that was the rapid, we know it as the rapid rehousing resolution. We did receive, and Joe reminded me of it when he said we're out to package deals to get bring a few more dollars into the county. This is the one that brought in about $2 million. And we sprinkled it over a number of agencies, the Coalition, Catholic Charities, TCA, Neighborhood Legal Services, and we were able to help a lot of people very quickly stay in homes and whatnot. We got all of that money back into the community with the exception of $60,000. And the resolution you voted on earlier this evening under the consent agenda helps us reposition that $60,000. I will tell you that the department was looked on very favorably, and we have been asked to apply again. So Patricia deserves a real pat on the back, and her staff certainly does. We hope we can bring in another $2 million, but there's no guarantee of that. We discussed the changes in the Office for the Aging's bylaws, and of course that was pulled. Lisa wanted to do a little more work on that, so that came off the agenda earlier tonight. The next formal meeting of the committee will be the 8th, 6-8, June 8th. You know we're having a special meeting this Thursday at 3:30. excuse me, it'll be up at Rice, up at 55 Brown Road. This special meeting is devoted to, again, the CHA report that Jack Mineski has prepared and submitted. Just so you're aware, when we had the meeting that Joe was able to set up with some of the administrative staff's help last week, it was the one where the panel was also advice, and the panel was in attendance. That garnered a lot of questions and a lot of comments, although that was simply a presentation where the representative from Tioga County talking about a CHA that the county is still running, and the representative from Genesee County talking about a CHA that had been sold or positioned with the private side. Liz Norton was also there, who had participated in two capacities with this county, both in DSS and in the health department. Some of you may remember Liz. She's retired now, sadly, but she's has been a real help. The outcome of that, one of the items that was touted was, don't worry, you'll get your question, you have an opportunity to ask questions. Joe's already set us up to try to get this meeting over on Thursday quickly because of the retirement, the 25-year club dinner. Joe, help me out. Does that start at 5 or 5:30?
5.
It starts at 5, although I don't think the dinner or the speeches begin until 6.
The social hour, 5 to 6, is up at Lake Watch. At 6, there's, champagne toast, and we sit down to eat. The sort of speeches happen as coffee's being served. So I would say the committee certainly, can miss the social hour, I'm sorry, and get there certainly in time for dinner.
Okay, just so that we have a time frame. The game plan is to begin the meeting, the health committee meeting at 3:30, give whomever from the public, since it's been already promoted that the public will have an opportunity to speak. We may reserve the right, as the agenda says, to limit, as Martha does with the signs, or Kathy does with the signs, because we don't want this to become just a public comment session. We're really there to listen and discuss the Mineski report. So we may have to cut the comments short, but try to get out of there by 5 o'clock so that folks, 5:15, the saving grace is that Rice is not too far from Lake Watch. It's in the same general neighborhood. I know.
Frank, without extending this report too long, could you just report on what the Board of Health did today? I think that's relevant.
The Board of Health, Martha and I and Joe and Dooley attended the Board of Health meeting earlier today. While there were only 5 members in attendance, that's an 8-member board. They basically voted to, reluctantly I might add, because there was a lot of comments, they voted to divest, recommend divesting the county, divesting itself of the CHA. Is that brief enough?
Yeah, that's good.
See you Thursday at 3:30, and then again on the 8th for the regular committee meeting. And if you have any suggestions, please, for the CHOP, please bring them. I hope you can come on Thursday.
Thank you, Frank. Jim, did you have your hand up? Did I see some?
Yes, I did. I should probably know this, and I asked Mike, how many people are on the Board of Health? And he had told me 8. Is that right?
There's 8. There's
okay,
8 members of the Board
of Health. I did not know that. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah. We have a resolution that was pulled off the consent agenda, so why don't I do that first before the report? That is Resolution
J,
authorization of a 5-year extension to the agreement with Cornell University for discount parking at the Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, and I so move.
And Leslin seconds. Pam, did you pull it off?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I talked with Bill Bob this afternoon, Bob Nicholas, about this. And I would like to make a motion that the extension be reduced to 3 years. 3 years.
That's an amendment. Is there a second?
Well, obviously there's no.
I'll second for purposes of discussion.
All right. We offer them a 25% discount on their parking, which seems like a rather large amount of money. But instead of percentage that we are put there, and that we have an increase in demand for parking up there, we have increased the number of spaces we have, but if we have an economic upturn here, that the demand for parking will go up, and I think that a 5-year contract is just too long for us to be offering a 25% discount. That's my justification for doing that.
Carol and Jim?
And Bill, Bob was fine with that. He did not have any objection to our reducing the length of the contract.
Carol and Jim?
I'll just report, we had quite an extensive discussion about this at the committee meeting, including discussion of reducing the length of the contract, which he did not at that point seem to be advocating. This agreement has been in place since 1994. The committee came armed with calculations and figures about the number of days per year and the number of cars per day and questions about what we might be foregoing. Cornell owns, this has been a partnership that allows us to have some certainty about the budget for maintaining that parking lot, snow removal, that kind of thing. Cornell owns land adjacent to the airport, and some of us remember, which they used to maintain as a parking lot, and some of us remember vividly parking in that lot on Cornell Business, which is really no further from the door to the airport than many people who live in bigger geographic areas travel to the long-term lot at many other airports, which they are not maintaining, and it enables this to guarantee some spots. I forget whether it was this year or last year. This is a 25% discount. I forget whether it was this past year or the year before that this amount actually came out to a little bit more than the university would have paid by about $3,000, if they had been paying the regular rate by the car.
Right.
And that's assuming that people didn't then go and use the remote lot. So, it's a risk. Travel could go back up. Departments, we were in a period where the Cornell departments were reducing their travel. So at the end of the meeting, we did approve this. So that's information I can give if other people from the committee want to add to what the sense of the discussion at that point was.
Tim?
I'm going to call the question on Pam's amendment, please.
Will seconds that. All in favor of calling the question on the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3.
I couldn't be.
Okay, the question is called, 8-3. Then we are prepared to vote on the amendment. All in favor of changing this to 3 years from 5, please raise your hand. That is in favor of the amendment. 1. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1-10, that fails. So we have the main motion. Brian?
I don't know any of the history of this. Is this a standard contract that we've had for a long time with these folks?
Leslie?
Since 1994.
5-year contract?
It's 5-year contract.
One of the things I wanted to add to what Carol says is Bob did say that he cannot recall, since this has been in place, that Cornell has ever used this full amount of spaces. So we always seem to be getting, you know, ahead. We are always ahead in this minimum amount that we should be getting. It's never been full. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we benefit more than Cornell essentially does. So it comes out just fine.
Sounds good. All right. Anything else? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 10-1. A brief report, Carol?
Oh, okay, yes, a report. Okay, the committee met on May 6th. The most important thing you should know is that our next meeting will be on June 3rd. That meeting will take place at the Solid Waste Conference Room at 9:30 till 11:20, at which point we will break for the groundbreaking on the Solid Waste facility at 11:30. You are all invited. Barb Ekstrom has come up with enough shovels that the current and immediate prior chairs of FNI and the chair of the legislature can all wield a shovel. So with Barb herself, that makes 4 women, 5 women wielding shovels, so that should be a fun sight to see.
Carol, finish up quickly, because we're going to lose a quorum in a minute.
Okay. One important thing you should know is that we've had discussion about the impact from now having to assume a 20% local share on projects due to the changes in the New York State Marshall-Selly funding. We used to assume 15% local share, so you'll see that in the upcoming budget. And then we had the other interesting discussion that I had planned to bring to your attention was one about purchase of biofuels. Our highway department is way ahead of schedule on reducing the meeting their targets on reducing carbon emissions from our county highway vehicles, enough ahead of schedule that they are coming and asking us, because it's so much more expensive, 60 cents a gallon, to purchase, you know, diesel, biodiesel, could they save some money by starting, you know, reducing that program, purchasing regular fuel, and still being able to stay on target. And that's a policy decision, you know, because we're ahead of ground on that effort, do we save the money? But start emitting more carbon into the atmosphere. We don't have an answer yet, but we've all got all kinds of information. Other than that, if there are questions, you can ask me.
All right, any questions? Thank you very much, Carol. We have the minutes of the May 3rd meeting. Can I get a motion?
Move.
Moved by Frank, second by Pam. If somebody would, I would like to ask if it is friendly to the mover and seconder to add a statement, two statements into this. This is so brief. a note that TCAD made a presentation and that Joe and Kevin made a presentation of the budget simulator. Those will go. The TCAD note before the chair's appointment and budget simulator after. The reason is that it looks rather odd that almost nothing happened, but we declared a recess at 7:44. So I just thought.
Do you think anybody will pick up on that?
Well, I don't know. It seems a little strange. Is that, if, would that be friendly to
sure.
Frank and Pam?
Sure.
All right. Would that change anything else on the minutes? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Those are accepted. Motion to adjourn. All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all. Too late. I think that's why people left.